Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. I sang that very same song for years as a camper and counselor at Mount Cross. And they come directly, as you hopefully noticed as we sang them for the children's sermon, they come directly from our reading from Ephesians 4, verse 4:32. If you didn't, we even say that at the end of what we sing. So I have sung those words countless times over the years. Sung them all of those times without actually hearing them and doing anything about them, I must confess. And I fear the same is true of the prayer for unity that we have been praying together for nearly 7 years at the end of every worship service on Sunday. And at the beginning of every meeting, we have prayed for unity. We've memorized these words, but have we actually heard them? Do we mean them when we pray for them? Are we serious about the unity that we are praying for? And have we done anything in addition to memorizing the prayer to help bring it about? Today is the third Sunday in Lent, in addition to being daylight savings time. And it's the third of our third Sunday of our 5-week sermon series on our relational covenant. Our third letter or tenet from the grace acrostic that makes up our covenant is A, accept our differences with respect. If you don't have a copy of the relational covenant, there are some available at the Info Center and the Narthex. I encourage you to pick one up on your way out of worship today. And our relational covenant has this to say about accepting our differences with respect. While we might not always agree with one another, we can accept disagreement and conflict and seek to discover what is best for the church as a whole and not our own individual desires. We promise to live by Christ's example and express areas of concern or conflict to the person they are directed to and not to others. While seeking reconciliation, doing this always in a Christ-honoring and compassionate spirit allows the Holy Spirit to grow us into Christ's likeness. Much like he did in his letter to the Colossians that we read from last week, Paul provides a description of what accepting our differences with respect might look like in his letter to the Ephesians that we read from and sang from this week. He describes putting away falsehood and speaking the truth to each other, not being angry with or stealing from each other. Refrain from evil talk and only say things that build each other up. Put away bitterness, wrath, anger, wrangling, slander, and all malice. Clearly, the church in Ephesus that Paul was writing to had some problems. There were some things going on there, weren't there? But don't we all have some problems, some things going on among us? You see, they were experiencing division along ethnic lines. Those who had been born Jewish and had converted to Christianity were worshiping or trying to worship next to those who were born Gentile and had become Christians themselves. And you know what? They didn't always do it right. There were also social and economic divisions that needed to be navigated in this community. Sound familiar? None of the things that Paul suggests in his letter to the Ephesians come easy. They didn't come easy for the first century church, and they don't come easy for us, nor do the words to that camp song that we just sang come easy. Be kind to one another. tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ has forgiven you. Do as Christ did, Paul writes to the Ephesians. It's the same message he wrote to the Colossians that we read from last week. Forgive one another. Be like Christ. Now, I suppose we could take great comfort from knowing that there has always been division in the church. So the church today is not all that different from the church 2,000 years ago that was being torn apart. Conflict in the church is nothing new. There may be different things that divide us, but we are still divided. And we may take comfort in that. Or we may find that to be incredibly discouraging. For 2,000 years, there's been division in the church, and so little has changed. Either way you want to think about it, Paul's words to the church in Ephesus, Paul's words to the church in Colossae are still speaking to us today. Because we're still working on our relationships with each other, and we are still working to accept our differences with respect. Our reading from Ephesians concludes with instructions or encouragement to be imitators of God as we walk in love, as Christ loved us and gave himself for us. Our relational covenant challenges us to grow in Christ's likeness. For you see, Christ sacrificed his life for us, even though we didn't deserve it, all because of God's love for us. Because of Jesus' love for us. So what are we willing to sacrifice to be Christ-like in our relationships with each other? How are we Christ to each other? How are we reconciled to each other if we aren't willing to sacrifice for each other? Fortunately, most of us, I don't think probably any of us, are going to be asked to give our life for each other. But what are we willing to sacrifice for our sisters and brothers in Christ? In seminary, we are told to pay attention to things that are repeated in Scripture. And in our reading this morning, we read that Paul writes to the church in Ephesus to forgive as you have been forgiven. He wrote the same thing to the church in Colossae in last week's reading. Forgive as you have been forgiven. Pay attention to the things that are repeated in Scripture. I can't tell you how many times that's said, but I can tell you that we pray it in the Lord's Prayer, do we not? Forgive as you have been forgiven. I don't know, like I said, how many times it's repeated in Scripture, but what I do know is that when Peter asks Jesus how many times he has to forgive a person who has sinned against him, Jesus replies, 70 times 7. Don't bother doing the math. Because the point is, you need to forgive more often than you would think is reasonable. So it's not a math problem. Because if we're counting up how many times we've forgiven, we aren't forgiving. We aren't becoming reconciled with that other person. Now, our gospel reading this morning brings to mind another song, and Mr. Justin mentioned it in his children's sermon, that song about Zacchaeus, who was a wee little man. A wee little man was he. He climbed up in a sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see. And as a neighbor, as a savior, that's the one that rhymes. I'm like, it rhymes with neighbor. As a savior passing by, he looked up in the tree and he said, Zacchaeus, you come down, for I'm going to your house today. Thank you very much. So many of us learned about Zacchaeus in Sunday school. We learned about Zacchaeus singing that song, and this story has always been told to us, at least in my memory, about Zacchaeus being converted through that encounter with Jesus. You see, the story begins with Zacchaeus as a greedy, wealthy, conniving, hated tax collector. But when Jesus sees him in that tree and asks him to come to his house, Zacchaeus is changed. And we've always been told that as a result, he commits to giving half of his possessions to the poor. And he says if he's defrauded anyone, he will give them four times as much. Now, admittedly, there is no confession in the story. There is no acknowledgement that Zacchaeus has, in fact, defrauded anyone. But this promise of restitution has been interpreted as meaning that Zacchaeus had changed. This classic reading and interpretation requires us as the hearer to make some uncharitable, non-grace-filled assumptions about Zacchaeus. It requires us to see Zacchaeus the way that the crowd sees him in the reading. In verse 7, when the crowd saw and heard Jesus speaking to Zacchaeus, they began to grumble. And when they heard Jesus tell Zacchaeus that he must stay at his house, the crowd said to each other, "He has gone to be the guest of one who is a sinner?" Was he? How would we know? The crowd thought that Zacchaeus was a sinner because of his vocation, because of his status. He was rich. But was he any more sinful than anybody else? Had he done the things that they assumed that he did? What we know about Zacchaeus is that he was a tax collector and that he was rich. We know that he was short of stature. We know he climbed that tree because he wanted to see Jesus. We don't know why he wanted to see Jesus. We don't know if he'd heard about Jesus and was just curious to see this man he had heard about. Or we don't know if he had already begun to turn his life and wanted to see the one he had heard about. What we do know is that Jesus calls Zacchaeus by name. Jesus calls Zacchaeus, this man, this rich tax collector, who the crowd thinks is a sinner. Jesus looks up at him in the tree and refers to him by name. And then he tells him to hurry and come down because he must stay at his house that day, providing him with a position of respect within the community to be the one who could provide hospitality to this guest. This person who was visiting your town was quite an honor. After the crowd accused Zacchaeus of being a sinner, Zacchaeus then responds by telling Jesus about giving half of his money to the poor and paying back anyone that he had defrauded fourfold. Now the question is Zacchaeus saying that he already gives half of his money to the poor? Or that he will give half of his money to the poor in the future because he's encountered Jesus? The Greek doesn't do us any favors here. The tense of the verbs is not, what we have is a translation challenge. So it's entirely possible that Zacchaeus was already giving half of his wealth to the poor. And it's already possible that Zacchaeus was already giving four times the amount that he had defrauded anybody to make amends if he had wronged somebody in a business transaction. It's possible that Zacchaeus, in fact, is not a sinner, but it happens to be a tax collector, happens to be wealthy, and that everybody in that town had judged him as a sinner and cast him away. Such a reading requires us to see this story as a mirror back on the crowd and the way that they have interacted with Zacchaeus and have falsely, potentially accused him of being less than them, falsely assigned him with motives and behaviors that maybe he hadn't done. And as readers, that mirror allows us to see ourselves. Where have we, like the crowd, prejudged somebody? Gone along with what we assume must be the worst in somebody, rather than assuming that maybe Christ is in that person already. Accept our differences with respect. Our challenge as Christ followers and as members of Ascension Lutheran Church is to receive and accept each other with grace and respect and the love of God that we have already received from Christ Jesus. Our relational covenant suggests that we need to be engaging this type of work, and it's not easy. It's not easy. We're discovering that in our small groups on Wednesday nights. As we try to be Christ-like with one another, when we try to be gracious with one another, when we try not to assign motive to each other as we hear one another in conversation. So we practice, because we need practice. We practice using our relational covenant in those conversations every Wednesday night. We practice because we need the practice. It doesn't come naturally to most of us. And we need to practice and to get used to what that feels like, to not already jump to a conclusion, not rush to give our opinion, but to listen and to receive and to be gracious with one another. Not judging one another, not assuming the worst of one another, does not come naturally to many of us. So we practice accepting our differences with respect. We practice our relational covenant, hopefully until it becomes more natural for us. That requires trust. That requires love. It requires vulnerability. It requires us to be Christ-like. If you would like to join us in practicing this Wednesday, it's not too late to come. We gather for soup supper at 5:30, and then we meet in here at 6:30 for a little bit of orientation each night, and then we break up into our small groups after that. You don't need to go to the soup supper. You can just come at 6:30 if you would like to be a part of practicing our relational covenant, and this week, practicing accepting our differences with respect.